Gene Pasale, and this is Living History. This show explores the rich heritage of the Brandywine Valley outside Philadelphia, focusing on the people, places, and events over more than 300 years which have played an important part in our American heritage. Each show highlights a local town, event, or personality who's had a notable influence on our culture. And before we get started, I want to mention that our call-in line, if you have comments or questions, is 610-701-9243. That's 610-701-9243. This day in history, July 13th. On this day in 1787, the Continental Congress passes the Northwest Ordinance, crafting guidelines for the admission of territories and new states into the Union. The ordinance also did something very important, restricting slavery from new territories, a feature that would become highly contentious in the following decades as the nation grappled with the spread of what was called the peculiar institution throughout the West and South. In 1943, during the darkest days of World War II, the largest tank battle in history occurs near the city of Kursk, where a total of 2 million troops from Germany and the Soviet Union clashed with 6,000 tanks and 5,000 aircraft in a cataclysmic confrontation that nearly changed the entire course of the war. German Field Marshal von Kluge realized defeat and retreated, giving further proof to the historical maxim that it is nearly impossible to successfully invade and conquer the vast domain of Russia, something Napoleon learned 130 years earlier. And in 1985, rock singer Bob Geldof of the Boomtown Rats organizes Live Aid to bring relief to famine-plagued citizens of Africa. The event was the most widely broadcast concert in history, occurring on two stages, at Philadelphia's JFK and at Wembley Stadium in London, and was televised around the world to more than 1 billion people, raising $125 million for famine relief. When summer comes around, many people think about the outdoors, sunshine, and baseball. A culinary staple at ballparks around the nation is the ever-popular hot dog. Millions of people, especially kids, consider hot dogs their favorite treat to be enjoyed at cookouts, barbecues, and festive events. First marketed in the Northeast on a grand scale by Nathan's Famous Hot Dogs on Coney Island in New York, hot dogs have become inextricable parts of our modern culture, an easy-to-prepare item for casual menus that often feature hamburgers, potato salad, and coleslaw. A gentleman named Jimmy John opened a hot dog stand on Wilmington Pike, currently Route 202 outside Philadelphia, in 1940. His restaurant, Jimmy John's Pipin' Hot Sandwiches, became popular almost overnight, and after World War II, Jimmy moved the business up the street and expanded. It was recognized by motorists with its famous for Frankfurter sign. When Jimmy passed away, a longtime employee took over the business. They even offered hot dogs for 70 cents for their 70th anniversary in 2010. Jimmy John's hot dogs are loved by thousands of customers who've literally grown up with hot dogs from the casual style eatery near Westchester, Pennsylvania. Hot dogs in general remain incredibly popular throughout all of America, with styles including kosher, all beef, and even turkey and veggie dogs pleasing a wide variety of audiences. Roger Stewart owns Jimmy John's, and he continues the long tradition, and he's here with us today. Roger, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you, Gene. Glad to be on.
Yeah. Now, I know you opened in 1940. Was it May of that year?
It was. It was the first Saturday. First Saturday in May, 1940.
Now, tell us a little bit about the owner, Jimmy John's, in the early days of the operation.
Well, Jimmy John had attempted six other food adventures, shall we say. He was even partners, I don't know, if the Guernsey Cow, which was out in Exton. He was an actual partner when that first started up.
Mm-hmm.
And he did, well, five or six other spots around, and then he decided to go out on his own, and he was doing basically a pull-behind cart.
Mm-hmm.
He had that cart set up down on Route 100.
Mm. Okay.
A friend of his, Bill Hayburn, owned a farm right up here where we're located now.
Mm-hmm.
In 1940 is when they put this road in, Route 202.
Right.
When they put the road in, they split his land for the farmer, left him a little strip of land, only about 60 feet wide, on the other side of the road. Really was useless as far as farming was concerned. So he said to Jimmy John, why don't you move your hot dog cart up onto this piece of land? You can buy it from me. He said, who knows, this highway may actually catch on. And that was in 1940, and, well, you know what's gone on now. At that time, it was just a two-lane road.
Yeah, and now, they did expand Route 202 subsequently.
They did it in 1960. Okay. But when Jimmy first opened up, he would be down here, and he'd be here all day, and he would stay into the evening. And what he said was, when he didn't see headlights coming in either direction, he knew it was time to close up.
Mm-hmm.
So you can imagine, 202 not having any headlights, but that's how sparse it was back then.
Yeah. Now, Jimmy John's was basically just a small hot dog stand for several years. When did it really start to get popular?
Well, the hot dog part, Jimmy John went off to war in 1942. He enlisted. He was 32 years old. His wife, Louise, came down out of Westchester. Now, this is out in the middle of nowhere, farm country. Most of our customers were truckers, what have you. She ran the business for 2 years while he was overseas. When he returned, the business had definitely started to pick up. In 1948 is when he really started seeing a big increase. That's when he basically turned a little shack into an actual building.
Mm-hmm.
So he erected the first building where you could actually come inside and eat your hot dog, and that was 1948.
Okay. Go ahead.
It continued to grow from there, and then in 1960, when they widened the highway, they had to tear down that building and built the building that's basically here now, the same footprint. So that was 1960.
So in terms of the various expansions of the building, it was roughly the same site, but you've just made more accommodations for people to actually come in and dine inside.
That's correct. It's been at this site. It was just a little bit south, the original stand, and then we're pretty much located in the center of the land right now.
Now, one question immediately comes to mind. Why hot dogs? Why not like a full-service, regular restaurant?
Well, it goes back to what I said. It basically was easy to transport.
Mm-hmm.
And he went around. He did a lot of fairs. He did a lot of outside events. He would go to wherever. And as far as he had basically a tow behind little cart.
Mm-hmm.
He could get everything into his car and go and set up.
So pretty simple.
Yeah, it was simple. It was keep it simple. And that's sort of always been his motto, keep it simple.
Mm-hmm. And, I know a lot of people who have dined there just absolutely love your hot dogs. But your hot dogs are a little bit different, I think. You specialize in what are called cased hot dogs. Tell
right.
our listeners the difference between a cased and a regular hot dog.
Well, our hot dogs are specially made for us. They're made by Dietz and Watson. They have a natural casing. And the natural casing is not necessarily for everyone, but it's the hot dogs that have a little snap to them when you bite them. But that casing keeps in the flavors, and we have a smoky flavor that goes in there also.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have that casing, and you tend to lose the flavor, especially the way we use a steam table. So the mm-hmm. hot dogs are in water in a steam table. We also take them out and grill them on request, but mm-hmm. the majority of them move that way. And if you were to just put a bunch of hot dogs in the water all day, you the water becomes more flavorful than hot dogs.
Yeah,
this way,
no, I'm with you.
The flavor stays, and when you bite into it, you notice the difference.
So the regular hot dogs have absolutely no casing to speak of, maybe a very, very thin one.
That's correct.
And, I don't know much about the actual history of when the first hot dog went on the market, but obviously Nathan's Famous was doing this back in, what, the 20s, 30s, I guess?
Yeah.
They've been around for many, many, many years. When did you personally start working there at Jimmy John's?
I started working here in 1975.
Mm-hmm.
I was a senior in high school.
Okay.
My father walked me in here and said, are you hiring? At that moment, they said no, but write down your name and number. The next day, I got a phone call, and the rest is history. I started coming down, and I worked here while I was in college. I really hit it off with Jimmy John. He was he and I had so many similar hobbies. We both like to do – we build all the booths. We do construction, woodworking.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the trains down here,
mm-hmm.
and I love to play with the trains and set it all up. So it was a good fit, and mm-hmm. Jimmy was the type of person who would never ask you to do something that, you know, he wasn't the first one out there doing it with you.
Yeah, tell us a little bit more about Jimmy. I mean, was he a pretty good businessman?
He definitely was. He had he had several really, really good innovative ideas. He was a photography buff.
Mm-hmm.
And in 1940, he had his camera. He would go around to the customers who were at the business, and he would take your photo.
Mm-hmm.
And he would ask you for your home address. And he had a dark room at home. He would then make two copies. He'd mail you one. And in the meantime, he would hang your photo up at the stand. So when he mailed you a copy, he said, you know, you're now part of the Jimmy John Wall of Fame. And
mm-hmm.
and people would come. And back then, in 1940, a photograph meant something.
Mm-hmm.
Not like in today's world where kids are taking 100 a day on their phones.
Mm-hmm.
And it was great PR. People would come back in, and they still come in to this day. It might be third or fourth generation. I have them all on digital discs, so we're able to email, make copies, whatever, of someone's grandfather, grandmother, great-grandfather.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
So you probably go back, well, 70 years or more, almost 75 years, I guess.
75. It's been over 75 years.
Yeah.
And the photos are still on the wall from 40, 41, and 42. And it's interesting to come in and take a look at them because you see the way people – these are people that are just going out to get a hot dog mm-hmm. in the middle of farm country, and they're wearing suits, ties, hats. You know, you get a sense of what the time was like.
Sure. Now, do any members of his extended family work there?
They do not.
They don't. Okay.
No.
I know you have many.
Jimmy and Louise didn't have any children.
Okay.
He was like, I called him Uncle Jimmy.
Mm-hmm.
We started hitting it off, and then when he passed away, that's when I bought the business.
Mm-hmm. I know you have many historic photographs and a train display. Was Jimmy a history buff?
To an extent, he was. The trains are kind of funny. They came about because we own the building next door also,
mm-hmm.
where currently is Tony Polito's barbershop and all.
Mm-hmm.
And before it was Polito's barbershop, it was a train shop.
Mm-hmm.
Ralph Smith put a train store in there, and he was friends with Jimmy John.
Mm-hmm.
And he came down and said, Jimmy, can I put a small train display in your restaurant to help promote my business?
Oh,
and Jimmy
okay.
said, sure. So it was a little 4x4 platform with trains.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that drew a big crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And when Jimmy started to see, you know, how much business that brought in,
sure.
the trains expanded from there. So we now have three train layouts. Kids, they put quarters in, they can push buttons, they can blow whistles, they can sort of interact with what's going on, push gate, crossing gates down, that kind of thing.
Always popular with the family.
Big kids and little kids, I always say.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I've been in there, and I love the train display. It's absolutely wonderful. We're about to take a break for commercial, but stay with us. We'll be back with Roger Stewart of the world-famous Jimmy John's Pipe and Hot Sandwiches.
Do you have a wedding, graduation, baptism, confirmation, milestone, or birthday to plan? You need John Surratt Catering, one of the most highly rated and preferred caterers throughout the Philadelphia area. They will be there to create and cater your event while assisting as much or as little as you desire. Planning a decadent, over-the-top company gala? Need help transforming your backyard into the party of the year? Want to wow your clients with a delicious luncheon? Then you need John Surratt Catering. All you have to do is call, and they'll handle the rest. Located at 835 Lincoln Avenue in Westchester, visit them at SurrockCatering.com or call 610-640-2836. That's 610-640-2836.
If you had to choose a roofer, would you choose one with limited experience and knowledge, or would you choose a roofer certified as a master elite contractor by the largest manufacturer in the nation, GAF, a distinction shared by only 3% of the nation's roofers? I'm talking about GP Martini Roofing, who also does siding, windows, doors, and offers an ironclad guarantee that he'll repair or replace any roof for defects within its normal life. GP Martini Services, Chester, Delaware, Bucks, and Montgomery counties, with free estimates and consultation, and does both commercial and residential. Go to their website at martiniroofing.com for special savings, or call 610-873-1696. And also, financing is available with no payments for a full year. Now, what roofer would you call? GP Martini is the answer. 610-873-1696.
WCHE 1520 AM, bringing you all things Chester County from our palatial studios on West Gay Street in Uptown Westchester, the talk of Chester County. If you don't believe it, just ask your neighbor. They listen.
I'm Gene Pasale, and this is Living History. Today we're talking with Roger Stewart, the owner of Jimmy John's world-famous hot dogs on Route 202, just south of Westchester, Pennsylvania. Roger, I guess over the years you have expanded your menu there. What kinds of things do you offer today?
Well, about 10 years ago, we started doing breakfast sandwiches, and we run those all day long, and they're a big hit. We've added soups, we've added onion rings, french fries, we have cheeseburgers, cheese steaks, pork roll sandwiches, we use Taylor pork roll, pork barbecue, We have grilled chicken cheese steaks, so, and we have so many different toppings now. We have a daily special called a Triple Crown, that's one of our hot dogs with chili cheese and bacon on it, and you get a small drink and small fries.
Oh, a little bit of everything.
Yeah, you get all that for $5.50.
Oh, excellent.
You know, we have good quality food at a very reasonable price in this area, and you don't stand in line waiting.
That's great.
Keep people moving.
That's great. People know Jimmy John's because it's good food, and it really is quite reasonable prices in a time when you could easily spend $10, $15, $20 on lunch. Yours is very, very reasonably priced.
Yeah, and we offer kids meals, so we do have another type of hot dog. We do have the more like the ballpark, the skinless hot dog. And we have chicken nuggets and fries and drinks. So we have kids' meals also. So and they're only $3.50.
Oh, very reasonable.
So it's very reasonable. And they can come in, and then the kids can play with the trains. And then for dessert, we now have soft-serve ice cream. Mm. We can do cones. We can do cups. And, of course, we have pretty much famous milkshakes. We can make a wide variety of milkshakes.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
I know that Jimmy John's has participated in local events like Chad's 4 Days. Do you get many requests to be at events around the area?
I do, and we used to do them, and it's just not really feasible for us anymore. The problem with events is they happen on weekends. Weekends are our busiest time down here.
Mm-hmm.
I lost some of my key staffing that used to do events with me, and there's a lot involved in basically moving a restaurant over to a spot.
Yes.
And it's just something that we've kind of gotten away from.
Mm-hmm.
We do more as far as if people call up, and we will supply them with our food, you know, if they have the means to cook it, what have you. We do a lot of post-prom parties, a lot of things with high schools,
sure,
sponsoring baseball teams, that kind of thing.
Sure. You're well aware that there's a national chain with the same name as yours. Do you ever get questions about that?
All the time, and it's getting to be more and more, especially since they've moved closer to the area, shall we say. There's one actually in Westchester.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
Yes. Yeah, but they really aren't competitive as far as food-wise. They are like a Subway.
I see.
They're dealing all in cold sandwiches, hoagies, that type of thing.
I see.
They started in 1983.
Okay.
So we were already here 43 years. But believe it or not, in 83, 84, we used to get people, they started out in Indiana, I think it was. We would get people that were on vacation or what have you, and they'd see it, they'd go there thinking it was us, and they would bring us back, like, the menu. Do you know this is out there? And then as the years went on, and they have, I think, over 2,000 stores, so they've expanded.
Yeah.
And one funny story on them is, well, they always say there's no such thing as bad advertising or publicity. They sponsor a NASCAR. So I had somebody come in a couple weeks ago, and apparently it does quite well, the Jimmy John car. And he came in and said, boy, the hot dog business must be great.
Yeah.
And I just sort of thought, oh, yeah, we're doing real well.
That's great.
You know, anything to make people think of us, I guess it can't be bad.
Sure. Sure. You know, you're really a local institution outside of the Philadelphia area. I've been here for, over 75 years. How large a staff do you have there now?
About 15, and we're very fortunate with the staff. A lot of them, brothers and sisters, a lot of legacy, a lot of people coming down through the ranks. Several of them have been with me for over 10 years. My son and my nephew are both the co-managers.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, Chris Davis is my nephew. My son's Roger Stewart, Jr., and they're been taking a lot of the weight off of me here lately.
Sure.
Nice.
Unfortunately, you had a fire there several years ago. Tell us a little bit about that. When did it occur, and how did it affect your business?
We did. It happened, of all times, it happened the morning of our 70th anniversary, which was in the year 2010. Mm-hmm. So it was the first Saturday in May, May 1st. Mm. We weren't open yet, fortunately. Mm. No one was hurt. Started in the kitchen, got up into the attic. At that time, the building was 50-some years old. When it got into the attic, we had a big exhaust fan up there, and that just sucked the fire through the whole building.
Oh.
And in a matter of minutes, it was engulfed. And so it was. I had people as far away as California say they saw it on the news.
Oh, my God!
I think a lot of that was because it just... the fact that it was our anniversary, we were prepped for such a big day, and it was just about the worst possible day I've ever had. But I also knew that day we're coming back, we're going to rebuild, mm-hmm. and the community was unbelievable. The support, mm-hmm. the support we got, Radley Run, for example, put on a fundraiser for us.
Oh, that is great.
It was in the middle of July. It had to be 100 degrees out.
Oh, my.
And you have to shuttle into there because they don't have parking.
Mm-hmm.
So the shuttle buses were running from Stetson, and over 800 people came.
My Lord.
Yeah. So it was, you know, it just kept us going.
Now, the rebuilding process, did you have a tremendous amount of work to do to rebuild that structure?
We had to rebuild everything from the ground up. Mm. It took 7 months. Mm. I used an architect, Tom Dever, who was one of our regular customers and also a big fan.
Mm-hmm.
We had to stay within the confines of the original footprint.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that we are so close to the highway and we're kind of on a strip, we couldn't do any modifications that way.
Sure.
But we were able to modernize the building. We used to have, the restrooms used to be outside at the end of the building. That's the way they were built back in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
So we were able, I say, we were able to put indoor plumbing in. So that's a big plus.
Yeah.
Definitely upgraded all the systems. We never had heating or air conditioning at all in the back rooms,
mm-hmm.
Behind, you know, where customers wouldn't see, and back in our work area.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's just a much more user-friendly building now.
Excellent. Yeah. I'm guessing the summer months are extremely busy there. Does it drop off? Does business drop off quite a bit in the winter?
The worst months are January and February, and I think that's with any restaurant, especially us with the type of food we sell. Come January, everybody has their New Year's resolution. They're going to watch their weight. They're going to save the money. So that usually wears off after a few weeks, but then you're just dealing with weather issues. You know, and the weekends usually still stay strong, but as far as nighttime, people just don't want to get out of their cars, and it's dark out, and
sure.
it's just not, you know, hot dog weather.
Especially in the middle of the winter. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, but our busiest week of the year is the week between Christmas and New Year's.
That's interesting.
That week, you have schools closed, and then you have a lot of people that may have moved to Florida or may have moved somewhere else, and they're coming back in the area to visit family, what have you. And they like to go to the old stomping grounds.
Mm-hmm.
So they come in and they have their stories. I haven't been here. You know, it's great.
Now,
and every day is like a Saturday rush.
See, I would have guessed your busiest week would be around the 4th of July, but 6 months later, really.
Yeah, now 4th of July is real busy. We do a takeout also, as far as if you want to come in and buy a 5-pound box of hot dogs. You get 30 hot dogs for $25.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of people come in Memorial Day, mm-hmm. 4th of July, Labor Day.
Mm-hmm.
They stock up. They take them down to the beach. We give them a bumper sticker goes with it. Says, "I break for dogs at Jimmy John's."
oh,
so they can
great.
Get the whole atmosphere going.
Excellent. I guess you guys are so popular, you've even been featured on the Food Network. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, the Food Network did a show called the Best Of. And it was we were featured Best of Roadside Stands, and that was neat. They came here, they filmed. I was fortunate Jimmy John was still with us at that time. He was in a wheelchair, but I was able to get him down here, and he was actually interviewed. So that was very nice.
Yeah, no.
And
food shows seem to becoming very, very popular in the last several years. I mean, it seems like there's a show about cooking just about everything.
Yeah.
And being on the Food Network must have helped your business a little bit.
It did. A lot of people, when they get into a certain area, they'll look that up. you know, who was on TV or what reason, and they come to see those spots.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all that. Last year, and I can't remember, a magazine put out the top 100 hot dog places in the country, and we ranked number 10.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, so, and excellent. That drew people.
I assume you're probably one of the oldest as well.
Yes, we are.
Yeah.
It's hard to keep a hot dog business going that long. We're very fortunate.
Mm-hmm.
I think this location is a big part of it, and just this. I always say every community kind of has its own hot dog stand,
mm-hmm.
you know. And you're not going to argue with somebody who might be from Reading or whatever you that your hot dog's better than theirs. It's
right.
just you know. But there are those hot dog connoisseurs. They go around, and wherever they go to different areas, they have to try the hot dogs.
Sure.
So,
any plans to expand? Any changes coming up there for Jimmy John's?
No, not at this time. No, I never say never. We get approached all the time about, you know, franchising out or doing whatever, but no, I don't at this time.
It's not at this point.
Everything, if anything, I'm starting to wind down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So
you've
now
been there for a long time.
I can't speak for my son or somebody else who may decide to, you know, branch out or do whatever.
Sure.
So.
Do you get many requests for special events, luncheons, other picnics, that kind of thing?
We do. We do a lot with birthday parties here,
mm-hmm.
Especially with kids. We'll put their name up on our roof sign. We have a big roof sign, and mm-hmm. there's 40,000 cars that go by every day right here on 202.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll put their name up on there, and they love that. And they can come in, and we give them $5 worth of quarters so they can run the trains. And we basically, depending on the size, we'll give you the whole back room, and the food is the birthday child eats for free. All the other kids can participate in the kids' meal deals, and we don't charge anything to the room or anything like that.
Excellent. I just want to mention that Jimmy John's is even on the cover of a brand new book titled Chad's Ford Then and Now 2 by Phyllis Recca. The book highlights dozens of historic properties around the Brandywine Valley and will be available this summer at the Chad's Ford Historical Society and other locations in the area. Full disclosure, Phyllis is my wife, and this is her second book on local landmarks. Roger, your website is jimmyjohns1940.com, and your phone number, if people have questions or want to stop by, is 610-459-3083. We've got just less than a minute. If you want to talk to people about stopping by Jimmy John's this summer and getting a hot dog, what would you like to say to our audience?
Well, we're open 7 days a week. We open up at 8 in the morning. Even at 8 o'clock in the morning, you can get hot dogs. We have the full menu all day. We don't close till 8 o'clock at night. It's a great place if you have grandchildren or if you're looking for a spot. If you can't get to the pool that day, or if you've been to the pool and you're hungry, you bring the kids in here. It's almost like having a built-in babysitter. They watch the trains. You get to relax. I would highly recommend it. And like I say, people don't stand in line. We move our customers very quickly.
That's good.
My staff is very well trained.
Excellent. I can vouch for that because I've been there a few times. The food is very good. Price is quite reasonable, and it's really a wonderful atmosphere. Roger, thank you so much for being with us today. It's been a pleasure. I'll have to stop by sometime and grab a hot dog.
I appreciate it.
And be sure to tune in next week, Wednesday, July 20th, when we'll be speaking with Jessica Eisenbray of the Hagley Library and Museum. Thank you all for tuning in to Living History.